I've got to ask you about evil, and I don't want to dwell on evil because this is a very positive program that you're talking about tonight. Yet, I do have to ask you, if one is very spiritual and religious, one will say that evil was created, you know, fallen angels and everything else.
Yeah.
Other people will say, no, if you have good, you have to have evil. We have to have that kind of balance. You have your own thought about evil, don't you?
Well, it's already not my thought. It's the current scientific thought. The fellow who wrote the foreword to my book, Robert Hare, is the world's leading expert on psychopaths. You know, he's up in the University of Vancouver. And we were having dinner one night. You know, and I got into psychopaths because I sponsored a symposium at the University of Wisconsin in 2003. And this was the first time that all these academics who were study psychopaths ever got together. They were like little kids. And so I sort of got into it. And a psychopath can be defined, and I have the characteristics of the book, as somebody who has no feelings of remorse or guilt. I mean, the circuitry is not there. They don't feel remorse. They don't feel guilt. They don't feel empathy. They can't love. I mean, the circuitry is not there.
Do they know the difference between right and wrong?
Yes, they can, but it doesn't make any difference. They don't feel, in other words, they're uninhibited. You know, they can hit their mother on the head with a baseball bat and not feel bad about it.
Yeah, so they know it's wrong to kill, but so what?
So
that
what?
Kind of thing. Okay.
That's exactly it. And so I said to him, why do I hear you using the term evil now and then. Wouldn't evil be a psychopathic person? He says, not necessarily. And what he said to me, and he had given a talk on it, that he thought evil was made up of a person who is not only a psychopathic, has all these circuits that are missing, but also have sadistic personality disorder. Now, they get off on actually hurting people, get their highs from the day. If you combine a psychopath with somebody who's sadistic, there you have an evil person. In terms of evil, as it applies to a person, not as a broad concept.
Well, for example, Saddam Hussein's sons, who are no longer roaming this planet, these guys used to enjoy dropping people into wood chippers.
Right.
I mean, unbelievable. Feet first, nice and slowly. I mean, would you characterize those two guys as psychopaths? I guess you would.
Yeah, you would. You could buy these guys as psychopaths. In other words, they could do that and not feel bad. And there's a biological propensity for it. Now, they haven't found any genes. They haven't found it. But they've found kids at the age of four. They can pretty well diagnose a child at the age of four as being psychopathic. And at the age of eight, or seven, rather, they can make a pretty good diagnosis. At the age of 12, they can make a diagnosis. And that's all she wrote. I mean, there's no treatment for a psychopath. And that's a tragedy of it. And that's why they formed the society. It's the first time any study has been made of it. And I recall talking to the director of the National Institute of Mental Health for federal grants, Mary Oliveri, and I quote that in the book. And I asked her, why is there no study being made on psychopaths or about these power freaks, about the people who create real misery in our life? And she said, so what if we did do all the research? And she said, what if we did make a pill? She said, who would take it? In other words, these people don't think there's anything wrong with them.
Right, exactly, unless you force them to take it.
Yeah.
Does a psychopath necessarily have to kill in order to be a psychopath? I don't think so.
No, not at all. Bob Hare estimates that 1% of the population, the world population, is psychopathic. 1%. And that's a conservative estimate. I've seen estimates as much as 4 or 5%. Now, most of these people are not in prison. They're out in regular life. The smarter the psychopath, the less chance he or she is going to be in prison. So they're running companies, and they're behind pulpits. They're detectives. They could be anything, and they're the ones that they don't have to come out of the closet, so to speak. I mean, when the time comes, they can really poke you, and that's when you know what the problem is.
Well, under your definition, could a psychopath be, let's say a guy is having a nice dinner with his wife in a restaurant, and some moron next to them, starts flirting with his wife. She's uncomfortable, but he doesn't stop. But really obnoxious, and he's doing something that obviously isn't right. Would that categorize that guy as a psychopath?
The guy that's bothering his wife?
Yes.
Well, Bob Hare would say he'd have to test him. I've asked him about this guy being psychopathic. They have what he calls a psychopathic checklist. It goes from 1 to 40, and it's a 4-hour or 5-hour test, has to be administered by a professional. And they have a cut line of 30, believe it or not. So if you're 30 and above, you're a psychopath. If you're 30 below, you're just nasty and mean.
Yeah. Oh, come on.
I said, how can it be so clear? He said, well, I have to draw the line somewhere. So there is a gray area there.
It sure is.
Yeah.
It sure is. And do psychopaths, what would you categorize a serial killer? Is a serial killer a psychopath?
I think a serial killer would be a psychopath, but there's a directionality to it. And this is the thing that I talked to these guys about. I said, you know, a guy could be a serial killer or he could be a really terrible, mean person and go home and love his wife and love his kids. I mean, even Hitler loved his dog. So there has to be a directionality to it. And so they're sort of studying the directionality of this thing. But on the other hand, I mean, here comes back at me and says, no. It's just the pathology does not, in a true psychopath, and these people have studied, you know, thousands of them. Here himself has studied 4,000. He's near my age, in the 70s. He said the pathology simply doesn't exist. They may put on an act. As a matter of fact, the forerunner to Bob here, a fellow named Harvey Kleckley, who wrote the book Mask of Sanity. I mean, the book actually tells it, A Mask of Sanity, and they portray him in the movies as somebody's perfectly normal until, boom, there you go. You know, you're having breakfast and he shoots you.
So what happened to these people, David? I mean, what got them the way they are?
The psychopaths?
Yeah.
Well, there's a difference between a psychopath and a sociopath, according to these experts. And I'm not the expert. I'm just quoting what these guys are saying. A psychopath, again, has a biological propensity. They could see it at a really early age. A sociopath is somebody who's relatively normal, who gets into a gang or into a group of terrorists and becomes what these experts call a pseudo-psychopath. So there's a biological proponent for the psychopath, and there's a cultural proponent for the sociopath.
And that person, obviously, is easily misled.
Yes, yes. And, you know, I mean, during the war, you know, I talked about the Rape of Nanking, the book where the Japanese did all these terrible things.
Right. And by the way, they still deny it, right?
Yeah. But 60 years later, I mean, Iris Chang went back and interviewed these people. And others, Heather's going back and interviewed these Japanese who participated in this. And these are the most nurturing, you know, one of the most nurturing cultures. And they just thought, well, it was a terrible time of my life. And as soon as they were out and came back, this is what a sociopath may be able to do, is recover from it. A psychopath, it can't recover from it. I remember talking, there's a famous psychiatrist, David Siegel, and I saw him at one of these brain health emotion symposiums, and I said to him, David, have you ever treated a psychopath? He said, yeah, twice. He said, I'd never do it again. He said, what they do is they draw you in. He says, over 6 months, this one guy drew me in, and I thought I was making progress, and then one time he laughs and he says, you stupid joke. He said, you think I'm going for all this? And he said, it happened to me twice, and I wouldn't do it again.